Welcome to today's episode of Biz Trends, where we explore the what, who, when, where, and how of Afro-global trends reshaping our world. Today, we're deep diving into the evolving world of spiritual wellness at work, a rising trend that's calling on us to rethink how we show up as leaders, colleagues, and human beings in the workplace. Our guest today is the remarkable Nokulinda Mkhize, also known as Gogolinda, a cultural advisor, integral coach, speaker, and practicing Sangoma. With nearly two decades of experience in Indigenous healing and as the co-founder of Mashaba Media, Nokulinda is pioneering a new way to look at leadership, success, and organizational culture through the lens of spiritual and ancestral wellness. This conversation will challenge old systems, awaken deeper truths, and offer practical tools for creating spiritually aligned and emotionally intelligent workspaces. So let's get into it. In your work as a Sangoma, a coach and advisor, you've been speaking for a long time about the role of spirituality and leadership. Why do you think more companies and leaders are now finally becoming more receptive to these sorts of conversations?
I think the stage that we're in the economy is giving everybody the clue that chasing profits by any means necessary is not enough for the sustainability of any organization, and that companies need to adapt into a more purpose-driven, narrative and value system in order to survive the volatility and uncertainty of the modern economy. And in doing so, it is in understanding that the importance of people as a resource for growth and development is paramount to the survival of companies. Enter spiritual wellness and the full understanding of what is a human being within the professional world.
Okay, so we're seeing younger people, in particular your Gen Zs and millennials, who are kind of under 45-year-olds, demanding more meaning, more mental health support, and more emotional safety, not just at work, but also from the brands and businesses that they support. What else do you see as driving this sort of spiritual awakening in the world of business?
I honestly believe that the rising cases of, burnout and chronic illness and the existential ongoing concern of leadership, top management, and that kind of thing is also a contributing factor. It's just that simply older generations who have come of age and a particularly different corporate and business circumstances may not be as open to their spiritual and wellness needs as the younger generation. And so the younger ones are speaking for the older ones, but this is a concern that is being seen across generations within the professional environment.
So would you say, based on your experience, that traditional healers and spiritual practitioners like yourself are now being invited into mainstream leadership spaces, or is this still happening on the fringes and in the shadows?
I would say that, African indigenous spirituality and practices, just like every other kind of spiritual practice and system, is integrated into the mainstream. However, businesses are beginning to understand the importance of a deliberate move towards integrating, out loud, rather than having, their employees and management seeking spiritual clarity elsewhere and then coming into the workplace as separate from their spiritual lives. And so I think companies are now seeing the importance of actually bringing that conversation to the forefront and including it out loud for their employees and for the benefit of their organization. So it's a shift and it's a change, but it is coming slowly.
Okay, so how then would you define what spiritual wellness at work is in our particular context?
I would say that spiritual wellness in the context of South Africa, Africa, and perhaps even the globe is the pursuit of holistic wellness, and not holistic in the woo-woo crystal sense, but holistic in terms of taking the economic, the systemic, the historical, the financial, the future, the personal, and all of it together and seeing the full picture of what a person is, who a person is, how is that defined within the context of how do we move forward in this economy in a way that does justice to that, while also giving organizations and companies the opportunity to grow into the future and build better communities and relationships between clients, businesses, and their brands, and also the people that, bring them to life and work inside of them.
So talk to us a bit about that. What kind of transformation is possible when people start to reclaim their spiritual selves in professional and in economic and business spaces?
When companies and organizations begin to prioritize the full humanity of their employees, one of the big benefits of that is profitability, because well people work well. You know, processes need people, and the better people are, the better the processes, the better the processes, the better the profits. And so it can easily be a numbers game if you want to look at it in that sense, but also allowing people to be purposefully human and allowing that expression is also good in terms of, you know, allowing companies to be sustainable for the future, because with, you know, if there's high turnaround or high levels of burnout and mental illness in the workplace, it goes against productivity and output as well.
Okay, so what then would you say are some of the drivers behind this trend towards taking more responsibility and having more cognizance of spirituality in the workplace and of people being 3D kind of spiritual beings becoming more urgent right now? Are there any historical contexts that are drivers behind this trend? And what about things like the trend towards people seeking more purposeful and more meaningful work? What are those drivers that are making this more urgent right now?
I think one of the major motivations for people to seek more outside of just, you know, their professional roles is the simple question, is this it? You know, when that is the basis of all spiritual exploration and transformation, asking oneself the existential question, is this all we're doing? As a company, is this it? As a professional, is this it? As a person, is this it? And so when people begin to become curious about what else there is that exists and is possible for them, so then begins this quest for wholeness, for integration, for exploring different types of intelligence and integrating all those levels of intelligence into taking their lives forward within this modern context, including in the professional world.
Okay, so then what are the benefits of businesses and leaders actually taking this seriously? In your experience, what sort of case studies or evidence have you seen as to what happens when business leadership starts to take spiritual wellness, not just of themselves, but also of their employees and their stakeholder base seriously?
You know, a simple case study that I love is, you know, when businesses began to integrate early development childhood centers within their workspaces, productivity is always the outcome. You know, so when you think about the spiritual wellness of employees, you're not thinking of their personal relationship with their ancestors or thinking about, you know, do you want to necessarily make room for them to maybe pray or, you know, do their meditations, but it's about taking care of the entire person. What are those people's concerns in the material world? Because those material concerns affect how they can conduct themselves, and that has an implication on their spiritual wellness. And so the biggest benefit of taking the full people and person into account in the workforce and in the workplace is high productivity. Once you can help people to navigate uncertainty in their material lives, it settles them spiritually. When people are settled spiritually, they can do more, they are capacitated for more.
Great. So you've articulated the benefits and why we do need to take this seriously at this point in time. But when it comes to spiritual wellness within the workplace or within the corporate environment, who is getting it right and who is not getting it so right? Which sort of industries, regions, geographies, and even continents are getting this more right and are more ahead of this almost sort of evolutionary curve that we're seeing in how seriously businesses take spiritual wellness of their workforce and of their customers?
I would say that, and even though I'm reluctant to say, but, you know, Western Europe and certain areas of the Western world, and even in South America, and that's anywhere where they're integrating, you know, equitable and just labor practices, that in and of itself is contributing towards the spiritual wellness of employees. And so 4-day work weeks, you know, community beneficiation, benefits in the workplace, and, you know, a plurality of conflict mediation, hybrid working models, you know, from work from home to working in the office. So as I was saying, you know, the thing that we are excelling in and falling behind in South Africa in terms of where we are in terms of integrating all of this is being able to see that spiritual wellness is material and social safety. And so anywhere in the world, in Western Europe, wherever there's a four-day work week, wherever there's, you know, work, you know, workers' beneficiation, community beneficiation, you know, just labor conditions, workplace benefits and things like that, you begin to see a difference within the workforce in terms of productivity and output. And so what's important for us to be able to say who is winning at this and who is lagging behind, we need to look at who is innovating and prioritizing their workers and who is not.
That's like a really practical way to look at this. So this is a blasting through a lot of the stereotypes people might have when you start talking about spiritual wellness and spirituality at work. It really comes down to recognizing that people are people, and people are human beings. Yep. They're not just human automatons. You know, we're not just AI replicas. Yes. We are something more. And therefore, taking cognizance of that can have wonderful benefits for company culture and company profitability going forward. So given those benefits and the sort of implied risks of not taking this seriously, if any leaders are watching or listening to this, what are some of the first steps that they can start to take to start to build more spiritually well workplaces?
I think the first step for every level of evolution is to seek understanding and be curious, you know, because we've seen the damage of, you know, chasing profit and chasing productivity by any means. And so the new question is, how can we do this in a way that aligns our people with our processes and still enables us to take this organization forward? So step one, be curious. Step two, you know, take it into your strategic planning and brainstorming. There are experts available, you know, that can assist you with that kind of thing. And once that is the case, you can then move forward into, you know, creating policies around it and being curious about what is available, where is your company falling short, and practically, what are the steps you can take in order to build that cohesive framework in your work, you know, in your place of work or within your brand and organization. And so there's no one size fits all process for this, but it begins with a curiosity, and that curiosity must be steeped in a desire to take tangible action, which includes understanding where you're falling short as leaders, personally and within the organization, and then being able to say, this is the time frame that we seek to use to, you know, build capacity within ourselves to be able to, you know, address these discrepancies and kind of bridge those gaps.
So now we're going to take a look a little bit into the future, so you can kind of put on your hat and to look into your proverbial crystal ball and tell us, what are your thoughts as a respected thought leader in the space of spiritual wellness at work? What is your biggest, boldest prediction at the future evolution of this trend, for better or for worse, depending on whether we lean in or lean out, when it comes to looking at spiritual wellness in the workplace? What do you think is going to play out over the next 10-ish or so years?
The wellness industry is a multi-billion industry globally. There are entire countries where their wellness, spiritual, you know, exports are like a major contributor to the GDP. So South African organizations or companies that have a presence in South Africa can either lean into that and lead. You know, we have our principles laid out for us. We have Ubuntu. We have all of our cultural assets already there. All we have to do is be able to respect them and see them for what they can be. And so in the next decade, human beings are going to be dictating to organizations and governments and, you know, brands what it is that they want, because we've come from an era where we have waited to be told, and that hasn't worked out well for us, hence we're here. And so in the next decade, unless organizations align themselves with what is relevant and meaningful and life-giving for people, they run the risk of alienating themselves, because people don't just want to be passive consumers anymore. That time has passed. That buying power is gone. And so people are more discerning, and they want to be able to make meaningful connection with their consumer choices. And therefore, they want to feel understood and represented in that. And furthermore, as you know, South Africans in this global economy, we can learn from other countries what to do and what not to do in terms of, you know, tourism and the wellness industry as a whole, and how to use our cultural and historical assets to benefit us as a people and to also take us forward. And so there's the benefits and the kind of trend forecasting for organizations and also for, you know, consumer habits in that. So we can either jump on this now and use what we have, or we can fall behind and then be dictated to by external forces, which everyone knows is a big frustration.
You heard it here first. This is a trend that you definitely want to get on top of and not fall behind with. And that's a wrap on today's episode. A heartfelt thank you to Gogo Linda for sharing your deep wisdom and guidance with us. We've unpacked together how Indigenous knowledge systems, ancestral connection, and spiritual alignment are more than just personal practices. They're becoming essential tools for building brave, balanced, and future-fit brands and workplaces. If you found this episode thought-provoking, grounding, or healing in any way, please remember to like, subscribe, and follow us on Wrapped at Biz Trends TV, as well as on Biz Community's official platforms, The Real Network, YouTube, and of course on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So on behalf of me, Bronwyn Williams, and my guest today, and the teams at Biz Community and Wrapped Creative, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time as we continue to decode the trends shaping our African futures.